When our Lord was on earth, there was one thing he was adamant about, that he came in order to establish a kingdom, but his kingdom was not of this earth, because all earthly kingdoms come from a position of weakness. The very fact that we declare one man to be a king of this nation or a king of that nation, whether we use the term king or president or leader or prime minister, is irrelevant. But the very fact that one is a king of an earthly kingdom connotes a position of weakness. And so our Lord would tell us from the first moment and declare to all who would listen that while he came to establish a kingdom, he was definitive. It was not a kingdom of this earth, because God does not rule from a position of weakness. And so we turn today to the doctrine that we honor today because it is intimately connected with the kingdom of Almighty God. But in order to understand this doctrine, we must understand that it is thoroughly rooted in Scripture from the very first moment. For often when we read Scripture now, we use terms like in regard to the proto-evangelical gospel, that is, I will put enmity between the woman and her seed and your seed, and that there will be enmity always, we say, alludes to the doctrine, the seminal doctrine of Our Lady, that is, her Immaculate Conception. But Scripture is not Scripture unless it is interpreted with the mind of the Church. For in one sense, Scripture belongs to everybody because it first belongs to the Church. And so, under the influence of modernism, we use terms like the doctrine is alluded to, but it is not alluded to in the Proto-Evangelicum. It is there full-blown. For the word enmity is a definitive word. That is, the woman spoken of will at no point in her life come under the rule of Satan and his kingdom. That is, she will be the Immaculate Conception. And the Immaculate Conception is the seminal doctrine on Our Lady. Once it is understood by the gift of God's grace, and we must understand, to understand this doctrine properly is a pure gift of Almighty God. That is, it is a product of his grace. Once that gift is received by the member of the mystical body, and we exercise that gift according to the rule of faith, all the other doctrines on Our Lady seem to be so consistent that one doctrine springs out of another, and so each part requires and is required by the rest. This is especially true in regards to the doctrine we celebrate today, the assumption of Our Lady, body and soul, into heaven. This is the belief of the Church, and hence it is the teaching of Christ her Son. For indeed, when the Church explains the doctrine, we must understand it does not develop in succession, but the Church is simply seeking, through prayer and the offering of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, to discern the minds of the apostles. And once the minds of the apostle is discerned, the Church has discerned the very mind of Christ. And so, no doctrine springs from mere human production. It is always and everywhere linked to the direct teaching of Jesus Christ. And so, this perennial belief of the Church that the Virgin Mary was assumed body and soul into heaven is the belief of the Church because it was in the mind and the hearts of the apostles, and it was there because it was received by them from Christ the Lord. And so, it seems that after the termination of her earthly life, it was fitting that she join her Son in triumphant glory in that kingdom of heaven, there to reign as Queen of heaven and earth, along with Christ her Son, the good King. And so, the sense of the faithful declares it, that it ought to be so much so that it seems becoming to state the doctrine today we celebrate as the assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, body and soul into heaven. That is, we incorporate all the principal doctrines of Our Lady in the one declaration that the assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, body and soul into heaven. All the principal doctrines seem to be as one, for the root of them all is her Immaculate Conception, by which, by a singular grace, she was preserved from the first moment of her conception to ever be at enmity with Almighty God. That is, she was in complete union with her, and so she was truly the virgin sign foretold of old. And so, from the Immaculate Conception, we logically conclude the perpetual virginity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, her divine maternity, and her Assumption, so much so that by God's grace we seem to speak of one as if it were the other, and there can be no separation in any of them. To deny one doctrine of Our Lady is to deny the whole order of salvation, for salvation cannot stand if we deny the prerogatives that Almighty God has blessed the ever-blessed Virgin Mary was. And so, in order to preserve the order of salvation, we must defend and honor the doctrines of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And indeed, one of the primary modernists of our time would declare in regards to Pius X's declaration that Our Lady was truly assumed body and soul into heaven, that, and I quote, the Church should take this doctrine back because it leads logically to the fifth doctrine of Our Lady, that is, she is the co-redemptrix, that is, she and she alone is the model and example of all those who would earnestly seek to strive God, to seek to please God, and hence work out their salvation in fear and trembling. And so, this doctrine logically leads to that doctrine that ultimately declares that there is no other way to heaven except by the way of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And indeed, most of the philosophers who were behind false religions in some way would honestly declare. For instance, Buddha himself said he was not the light, but that he was searching for the light because he saw souls seeking to instill him as some type of false god. But he was an honest philosopher, and he knew full well that he was not the one whom many were striving to make him. And so, we can only find the true God if we find the road that he chose to traverse in order to come to us, that is, the road of the Immaculate Virgin Mary, Mother of God. And so, the Church finds that it is simply in harmony with the substance and main outlines of the doctrine of the Incarnation, that is the root and basis of the doctrine of the Incarnation, of the Assumption. Indeed, the Church will pray in regards to the Incarnation that you did not despise the Virgin's womb. That is, the Son of God himself chose to come to men through the Immaculate Virgin's womb, and hence she is the royal road by which God has traversed to us, and we must traverse back to him. And so, he who was inseparable from his mother on earth is not separated from her in heaven, for he has fittingly taken her to reign with him for all eternity in that abode, that is, that kingdom, that seat, by which she cannot be assailed. For in today's first reading, we learn that the devil seeks, as it were, to destroy the woman, but he cannot assail her, and so he turns all his fury and all his wrath upon her offspring, that is, the members of the Church militant dwelling here on earth. For that passage from Scripture clearly indicates that the Mother of God is no longer to be found on this earth. Indeed, if we were to declare that her body could somehow be found on this earth, then we have declared that corruption has set in, and so we have denied her Immaculate Conception. And so it is most fitting that she truly reigns, body, blood, and soul, with her Son in heaven, and it primarily strengthens in us the supernatural virtue of hope, that is, the virtue infused into the soul by which we desire and expect the eternal life that God has promised to his servants, as well as the means necessary to attain it. And so, this doctrine preserves in us the virtue of hope, so necessary in our day and age as Satan has unleashed his fury on all humanity and most especially on the mystical body of Christ, the offspring of the Blessed Virgin Mary, as he seeks to undermine every doctrine and the very belief of the Church. And so, if we believe that by the virtue of hope, God gives us all the means necessary to attain our eternal union with him in heaven, we must discern what is the means necessary. It is none other than the Immaculate Virgin Mary, Mother of God, and she who has been assumed into heaven, there to reign as our Queen for all eternity, where she directs the angelic armies and the armies of God on earth in order that they may acquire that final goal for which God has created all human beings, union with the Mother and the Son for all eternity in heaven. And so we truly have the valiant woman who is unassailable and cannot be touched by Satan, who leads us in order that we may become children of God in this life, in order to become children of God in that kingdom where she reigns as Queen of heaven and earth, her heavenly kingdom, her rightful throne. And so we must again claim all those things and not allow the influence of modernism or any error to taint us. We declare definitively that in the proto-evangelical gospel, there is no allusion to this doctrine we celebrate today. It is there, full-blown, for all to see. For if God has chosen one way, and the very fact that God is who he is simply declares there is one and one way only to authentically worship him, he would not hide that way from mankind because he loves us too dearly, so much so that he chose not to become an angel, but to become a man in order to deliver us from slavery to the Satan of from slavery to the kingdom of Satan in order to make us free men. And we are truly free when we follow the free woman, free because she never for one moment in her life did anything contrary to the will of God, for no creature is free unless they are doing the will of the one who created them. And so when we say that Our Lady on the night of the Incarnation could not have said no, we do not declare that she was restricted, that she couldn't do something, because she always would do the will of God, and that is only when human beings are authentically human beings. And so let us strive under her influence to show ourselves truly human, buoyed up by that virtue of hope, so that we may go forth performing the works of charity and doing that under the influence of the divine faith, that faith that holds to the unity of the doctrine and realizes that to assail one doctrine is to assail all. If the modernist has his way and the Church were to take back the doctrine of the Assumption, then the whole order of creation and salvation is ruined, and Satan has free reign over the human family, and ultimately there is no hope, there is just despair. And so the doctrine of the Assumption allows hope to burn brightly, for now we know that God is truly faithful to his promise. If it were merely our Lord who were in heaven body and soul, that we could understand, but yet it would not ultimately give us the hope, because we know he is God and we are not sure that there are any human beings, body and soul, in heaven. With the doctrine of the Assumption, the Church declares definitively that those who serve God are truly given that reward he has promised. And so, Our Lady, as always, stands in the crossroads and stands at the crux of the order of salvation. Let us turn to her in this day and for all ages to come, so that all coming to know her will come to possess him whom she alone has the authority to give to all mankind. And so it can truly be said that the Mother of God is entrusted with the entire order of salvation, because in having one thing to give, that is her Son, she has everything to give, and she transforms us truly into God's children first by our baptism and then by the graces of the sacramental life, so that we remain and persevere in that kingdom until death, and then ultimately join her who has been assumed body and soul, triumphant to heaven, and there, at the end of time, there is the definitive gap between the sons of God who rule with him in his glory, and the sons of Satan who have no hope, just despair and eternal torments. And that is why that is what this doctrine is intended to preserve us from giving up in this life and then receiving eternal recompense in the life to come. So let us strive always to keep her in our minds, in our hearts, and always understanding that she cannot be found here on earth, because on earth she is not to be found, because she does not rule from a position of weakness, she rules from a position of strength, because she rules with Christ the King, gloriously triumphant in his divinity and in his humanity, and so he has conquered all souls for his kingdom and has entrusted that conquering to the Immaculate Virgin Mary. And so let us turn to her and ask her to give us the grace to persevere in our holy Catholic faith. And that is ultimately what this doctrine teaches, that outside of the holy Catholic faith, all other faiths, all other religions are false and tainted, and primarily because they in one way or another or entirely deny a prerogative of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so, even in Protestantism, what sounded like a great simplification has wound up in utter despair and the very denial of the divinity of Jesus Christ, because they first denied the maternity of the Virgin Mary. If you do not know the Mother, you ultimately lose the Son. And so let us strive always to know the Mother, because we recognize in her Son the only treasure worth possessing in this life, because it is a foretaste of the eternal possession of him in the life to come.
Fructum ventris tuum.